everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick and Rob, your co-hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics old and new, talking what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU, DCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you do not skip a beat. Now, Rob, this is actually a pretty explosive episode as far as announcements goes, movie news goes, comic news. We had CinemaCon this past week. We had some pretty stellar comic news drop today. Just a lot of stuff going on in a lot of areas of the map, man. I'm really excited to dive into it today with you.
Yeah, man. For me, personally, the most exciting thing to come out of, I'm not sure if it came out of CinemaCon or maybe it was definitely around the time that it was the Joker trailer. Full AD, yeah. If you will. Yes. I'm in. I think it's going to be a wall-to-wall musical. Like, I think it's going to be more in the vein of there will be a few musical numbers because it seems to be taking place in, like, their twisted psyche. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to ripping apart any couple who like, oh, he's the Joker to my Harley, you need to leave, because that's an abusive relationship. That's not love, that's domestic abuse. So FYI, yes. If there's any Jokers who have Harleys and vice versa, get out of there. Go find your poison ivy. That's who you go find.
There we go. Go find your poison ivy. I like that. Yeah. I loved the teaser too. I thought it was everything I really could have hoped for. It still looks like it has that magic. And obviously this is just a teaser trailer. But yeah, you know what I mean, man? It just looks like it still has that character that the first one had. And that's what drove this movie up to the top of my, like, for me personally, it's probably like my most watched like movie in like modern times. I don't know.
I've definitely like put it on in the background or go, hey, have you seen this? Like just to watch.
Right.
It.
But, right.
And I was watching, I think it was Mr. In-Between. It's a TV show I was watching. And someone said something along the lines of, for every bad thing that happens, something good comes out of it. Right.
Cool.
Now, to a degree. Yeah. But if you look at the quote unquote disaster that was the Snyderverse and all that, the MCU of DC, if you will. But look at what we got from that. That it's like, you know what? Let's just do random shit. Like, you have a Joker story. Fine, go for it. You want to make it a musical? Fine, go for it. Oh, you want to make a 3-hour Batman movie? Go for it. Oh, you want to do a Peacemaker show? Fine, go for it. Whereas Marvel's synergy now, which was appealing initially, is now crippling it. It's a case of there's you too much to know. So I'm excited of what DC will come up with movie-wise, and it kind of harkens back to before X-Men 97 and Spectacular Spider-Man. My go-to for animated superhero content was, in terms of quality, was the DC stuff. Justice League Unlimited, the animated series, the Batman animated series. Like, another level to that. And just quick note, because as you said, it's an explosive episode today. Last week's episode of X-Men 97, my mouth was open that whole episode. And for people, maybe more casual watchers of the show, actually, pun was not intended there at all. As it pans down to Genosha, you see the silhouette of the Watcher in the sky.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my God, something bad is going to happen. Because when that big bald-looking baby shows up, it's because it's something noteworthy. And mother of God, what an episode.
I mean, dude, there's no words for that episode. And I think we're free to talk spoilers at this point, considering the next one comes out in 2 days. But it just kept going. Like, the episode just kept going. It was like one thing after another the whole entire time. It was probably the most, like, I don't know. It was tough to watch. And it just goes to show that this show really is like a testament that it's approved for kids to watch it, but it's not a kids show. Like, this is like
Justice League and like Batman, the animated series. Like, remember that episode where that guy cut the Joker off and then the Joker like is like, as a kid watching that, you're like, oh, the Joker's crazy. But older, you're like, oh my God, like he was watching the guy's kid play in his front yard. Like that's,
Yeah.
there's another level of menace to it. And yeah, I'm
Yep.
excited about it. My only gripe was with Banshee. Horse retired to tell you there now we're in Genosha. Like that the Irish people don't talk like that. He has like two lines, and of course he's voiced by the Lucky Charms leprechaun. So that was my only gripe with that issue.
Yes,
Issue,
that
episode.
makes. Yes, no, and that makes sense. It was sad. It was a
It
tough
was
episode to
sad.
watch. It was just like really, dude, like I said, like it didn't just stop after like boom, like it's over. It just was like one thing after another, one thing.
It was
I really don't know
nonstop.
where the, yeah, nonstop. I don't know where the show goes after this,
Well, there, you
but I
know there'll
mean,
be time travel shenanigans. Like that little thing of Cable just showing up and then going, you know, okay. And I mean that's par of the course
true.
for X-Men. The X-Men have
Yeah.
used time travel to get out of things quite a lot,
They
you
have.
know.
They have, and that's I mean, that's like a, you know, that's a trope that's being commonly used at Marvel right now as a whole. You know, I was on a plane last night actually watching the last episode of Loki just 'cause I was bored. And I was like, wow, there was so this is what is going on right now in comics as a whole and in the MCU, just time travel. So yeah, to your point, dude, when Cable shows up, you know what's gonna happen. You know, and so let's see where the show goes from here. Will, you know, these people stay dead? Hopefully some of these, you know, recurring cast members do come back because I'll miss the show without them. But hey, that's how it goes. Like they're X-Men, they're you know, there was no such thing as a you know, like a an out of place death in that whole show. Like
No.
they died valiantly and they did what they needed to do. Yeah, show won't be the same without some of those characters. Let's see if they come back. And if they don't, honestly, respect to the writers,
What
like
a way to
I'm
go out.
invested.
Like, yeah,
Yeah.
what a way to go out.
Yep.
Now, quick thing before, because see, we're still on the before we go into the CinemaCon, just because I was so
Yeah,
excited it
yeah,
was announced
yeah.
before we jumped on the show. We talked about Red Band Bloodlot quite a lot, but it looks like Bloodhunt quite a lot. But it looks like an ongoing series written by Jason Liu of Werewolf by Night is getting the go ahead in August. So we'll have a Red Band ongoing horror series.
Wow, huh? That is, dude, you know, what would, you know, you and I would love this, and I'm sure other people listening would too. What if this was like spinning out of the event of like Blood Hunt? Like,
Well, I mean, the Werewolf by Night has a one shot that's written by Jason Liu for it. He's one of the like six one shots that was announced. It was the
oh,
four X-Men
right.
ones, Hulk,
There
and
it
then
is.
Werewolf
There it
by
is.
Night. And Daredevil is, well, Elektra's Daredevil is getting a five issue mini coming out of an upcoming issue of Daredevil, and she's going to be taking on Cross. I love when people take on Crossbones. I love it because Crossbones, like, is. He's not like Taskmaster, where like he follows a paycheck. Crossbones is a bad, bad dude. Like
Oh, he's a.
he loves what he does. It's not a
Yeah.
paycheck to him. It's a
He's
plus that he
also a.
gets paid.
Yeah. I mean, he's also, you know, basically for all intents, isn't he kind of like a neo-Nazi as well?
Oh
Like he
yeah.
follows the Red Skull out of passion
Yeah.
as well, not just
Yeah.
for paycheck.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Elektra's gonna be taking on him. And Joe Garrison, the new Punisher. And I know you didn't read the series, but I
I.
enjoyed what they did with the new Punisher because, you know, with Frank, they're dead. Like, that's it, they're dead, right? And it's difficult to build up a rogues
Right.
gallery with him. Whereas
Yeah.
Joe, like, I know him, you know, Joe. So I says to Joe, I says, why did you kill him, Joe? But Joe was, because like he's an ex-Shield guy, not all of his ordnance is lethal, but he used it to lethal method. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm
Yeah,
excited
dude, I
to
mean,
see that
look,
series.
you're right. I didn't read it, but now maybe that it's only four or five issues, maybe I'll go back and read it. But you're a tough critic, like you're a fair critic, I should say. So if you say it's good, I need to go check it, especially knowing that he's going to come back. Just winding the clocks back on the Red Band stuff. This is big. That is a big piece of this segment here, that there's going to be a Werewolf by Night story that is going to be very rated R, You know, I dare I say that the Red Band books are like rated X. It seems like they're really going to crank up the heat on these. I don't, we'll see. We'll see what the level is.
See, this is the thing too, is that I don't, because when you were saying that, I thought of the Max line, and the Max line is like top shelf. Like you cannot, because they actually only, you could only get them from behind the counter, I believe. Like they weren't out on the wall. Now, in this day and age, is that a smart marketing move by Marvel? Will it be a case of it's out on the floor, but it has, you know, Red Band warning on it, and you can still get it? Because at the end of the day, they're going to want to make money, and by putting it behind the counter, the maybe the PG-13s can't get it. You know, and
right.
I feel like you'd be limiting a bit. But I think that the, I mean, again, we don't know what to expect from Red Band till. But, you know, Bloodhunt is out in a few weeks, you know,
yeah,
so
dude,
we'll get the tone there. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
it's insane. Like, oh, it's insane, dude. I was just talking to someone today. I was like, I can't believe, like, it's, you know, basically going into late April at this point. Yeah, so big news. I'm kind of glad it's Jason Liu. Let's see him sort of stretch his muscles for
I trust
blood
Jason,
and,
man. I trust Jason. His
Marvel
notes
is
of continuity.
Really,
like, his knowing the character. Like, I keep going back to that constant contest of chaos. One of Iron Man and Storm's fight.
So it, good.
It acknowledged continuity, and it made sense as to why they were fighting.
I agree. That was excellent. Dare I say that was probably one of the best one shots to come out of last year, to be, or this year, sorry. So far.
And especially out of that event. Especially
that
out of
that
event.
That was pretty good. That actually was very well done. He's doing a lot of other things, like his Century book just wrapped too. I didn't like the premise. It was nothing against his writing or his storytelling. I love the Century, so I kind of want to see him back,
but see,
I thought it was
worth
reading.
With a character like the Century, like you're kind of like they book him into a corner because of the power he has. You know, and it's the same thing with Thor too. Like when these characters get to a certain level, like what's the difference between Century and Thor? Oh, Century is his own worst enemy. Okay, so for the good he's doing, he has to do bad. Well, who are his bad guys?
Right.
And I think that idea of splitting it up. I just think the Century can be a tough sell. I think the Century is a better character in memory than he is as an ongoing. Like, I thought him being used as the weapon for Norman Osborn in Siege, and then when Remender used him as like a horseman of death.
Yep.
He was in Annihilation Scourge. It's difficult with the character of that power, like Cosmic Ghost Rider. Remember how powerful he was? Oh, sorry, that reminds me. Jean Grey, I am actually going to be getting the Jean Grey ongoing series in July.
This was another talking point that we had on the show, was all the X-Men news that dropped. Let's dive into that. I bought every Krakoa book, every single one.
I know you did.
And I wish I didn't, because most of them weren't that good at all. But
I remember saying, why? It's like, dude, bro, I got it. I'm like, why are you, why?
I was excited. I was like, this is the first time I can like jump on as an X-Men fan and like start fresh. Anyway, that was bad. But I am falling into the same thing, because all of these sound pretty good. The X-Force one doesn't sound that good to me, to be honest. I don't really love the team.
I mean, the team, like, I actually thought that was Metal in the background, the big red guy, but it's the guy called Tank.
Yes.
You know,
I thought it was that symbiote guy.
Okay.
That's in Venom.
Bedlam?
No, not Bedlam.
Flexo.
I thought it was Flexo for a second, but obviously that wouldn't make sense. But
I mean, none of them really jumped out at me. I might get Deadpool, because I want to see how Deadpool, like, is it going to tie in with his ongoing? But I couldn't believe how excited I was when I read the synopsis that Jean Grey is going into space.
It's a cosmic book.
Right. And Stephanie Phillips is writing it. And what was the last cosmic book she wrote?
Oh, that was Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Where the Ghost Rider was flying. And I'm like, yes, bring the two of them together. I'm definitely going to be pulling Jean Grey.
I'm on. I like it a lot. It's a cosmic X-Men book. Let's see where it goes. I agree. Yeah. And Stephanie Phillips. That was a great limited series too. I thoroughly enjoyed that. It's one of my most anticipated books coming out is that Jean Grey or Phoenix book.
Yeah.
So very excited for that. Very, very excited. I guess right now, so going back to my point, all the X-Men books sound pretty good. I just can't get ahead of myself. Like I got too excited and it just.
And it's big. Like you look at there's the three mains. Then you X-Factor hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah.
Wolverine hasn't been announced. Although they did say it's not Greg Capullo, man. It's
dude, wow, really?
It's either I think it's Mahmoud Asar.
Okay, but Greg Capullo would be the artist. No. He is the sorry. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, Mohammed Asrar. Okay.
Yeah. Apologies for completely messing up that name.
So who knows? Then we have NYX though. NYX. NYX was announced.
Yeah, NYX. But I mean, like, look.
It's you go first. I've thoughts.
How long is it going to last? Like, remember Fallen Angels came out? Remember Cable came out as part of them? And there were these forgotten books, Children of the Atom. Like, what's the NYX doesn't have kind of like, I know, to me, that Wolverine of the team, the Deadpool of the team. Like, why is Deadpool on the X-Force team? Because people are going to pick it up.
And he's not even a staple member. He's just like a revolving member that's on the team for. And you saw that. I didn't love that. It never works. Jason Aaron tried it. It didn't work. Like a few others have tried to do that. The revolving team member thing. I don't know. It gets messy. I don't know. I don't love it. But
yeah, I think like that's what's going to be detrimental to a lot of these X spinoffs, because it's a different day and age of comic fans, and unless you have like that pillar to draw them, like your Wolverines, like your Gambits, whatever,
right
and who does it? Now I mean, I was considering it, considering Miss Marvel is on the team and Wolverine, Laura Keeney's Wolverine.
Let's take it from here though. It sounds like they're making it like an edgy teenager book like NYX or like Runaways. I don't know. It doesn't like scream out at me as something like I need to like, I don't know. I'm probably, you know what, dude? I think I'm going to say right here and right now, that's probably not going to be the one that I get, but I don't know. Let's see.
Well, we'll both probably give issue one a try.
You know what, dude? I made a vow to myself, like a vow. It sounds very dramatic, but I made like a freaking like, basically like a, just like a statement that I'm trying not to write a book off by issue one. I'm trying to wait for arcs, like first arc.
The moment I said that, I think I've said to you before, is that like you got to give it the first arc, like you give a TV show the first season, because book, either you have an amazing first issue and it gets derailed by the end of the arc, or you have a train wreck of a first issue that nails it in the landing.
Correct. You know? Correct. Yeah. Or even the latter, dude. Remember the last, not this past Thunderbolts book, but the one before that, written by Zeb Wells,
No, Jim's Up.
Jim Zub, thank you. Good memory. He was killing it for the first three issues, and then that fourth issue came, and it was bad last issue, and it was just a letdown. And
the Thunderbolts is not a, it was good, but I feel like the Thunderbolts as a team,
yes,
excuse me, it was lightning in a bottle. Pardon the pun. The first iteration of the team, because it was all a plan from villains, and then it was villains finding redemption, and then it became villains who were serving their time and wanted to have an easier sentence, but then it became Bucky's posse, and then it became Kingpin's hired goons, and then they were in Dark Reign, Devil's Reign, and then they were Luke Cage's Thunderbolt sponsored ones, and now Bucky has taken it back.
Yep,
when he had the Inner Circle thing, and that was like I'm not knocking any. I enjoyed every Thunderbolt series.
Me too, actually.
Red Hulk's Thunderbolts. The name Thunderbolt made sense with him because it was Thunderbolt Ross. But even it's just. They can't get past the five issue mini, eh? Like the one back in the day ran nearly to discounting that odd Fight Club ecstatic six issues. They tried to do something different.
Right.
Like it was solid and it ran for a long time. The Thunderbolts, I think it's kind of like the Defenders. It was a product of its time, of a perfect story, and you can't recapture it because the team was fake.
And even going, looking at this, you know, in a bigger picture here, you're talking about like what will be a limited, what won't be.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jason Liu's Werewolf by Night is like slated as an ongoing. It won't be. It's not going to go to issue 25. It's a Red Band trailer. I mean, Red Band comic, which means that it's probably going to last 8 to 12 issues.
And that's not a knock on the creatives involved. It's just not even a little bit. Industry as a whole, if you're not a Spider-Man or a Wolverine or, you know, like,
yep.
I'm even surprised Venom is up at issue 32 now.
I was just thinking about that. There's a few other series too, like that. And I'm like, X-Force, how did we make it this
far? To issue 50. How did X-Force meet? And I mean, even Deadpool was selling well. I suppose.
That had hot streaks. But I get your point. I get what you're saying. Ultimately,
not a knock on the creative teams involved at all. It's just
not even a little.
The industry.
Just the industry. Yeah, that's how it goes.
You know, like, because even that Cosmic Ghost Rider was slated as an ongoing, then it got changed to a limited series.
Right. Right. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. So I don't know. Let's see where it goes. I'm excited, though. I think that they have their bearings with X-Men stuff right now. I just don't want them to add 50 more titles and then it just be a complete wreck. But that's probably what will happen. Let's hope it doesn't. But I don't know. But yeah, overall, the X-Men news is promising. I'm very excited for it. Let's see where it goes. I mean, comics are about to start heating up. We're entering event season in the next like 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of stuff is going to be banging. A lot of stuff is going to be coming out.
You know what I was thinking? Just the thought when you said event season. Yeah. Remember after Secret Empire, Marvel realized like, oh my God, we have to take a break from the events. Yeah. They're kind of getting too big.
Yeah.
And they're kind of doing it again. Because if you think about it, there was Fall of X, Gang War, Fall of the House of X.
Yeah.
Now you have Blood Hunt building up. And then you're going to have Venom War. There's
right.
There's so a lot. There's, you
they
know,
justified
I think...
that. They came out and they like justified it. They were like, oh, like, you know, it's not going to be like a huge thing. Because these are crossover events, and then there's like major events.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Yeah. Let's see where it goes.
I'm excited about Blood Hunt because there's so little given out of what it's actually going to be.
It's not like eight issues. It's five issues, which means every single issue will matter. That's what I love about events like this.
Because remember, Siege was only four issues, and there was an epilogue and a prologue. But I mean, you didn't need to read those. And Siege was breakneck, done and dusted.
It was a great event. I say, like a top 10 event, maybe at Marvel. Like, it was very, very good. Like, it was
100%.
I thought it was. I mean, it was amazing. I can't say anything wrong about it. Like. This is how it goes though. I need to start cutting back though a little bit. It's getting out of control. Buddy.
Absolutely. But I can't believe we flew over this. It's shocking. Pun intended. Thunderbolts, the title card got shown, which didn't really blow me away at all, but there was an asterisk beside
it.
And Kevin Feige's like, oh, I'll tell you after the movie.
Let's shift the. I think we're done with comic news. Let's shift over to CinemaCon news because there was some good stuff in that, and this was one of the lead things. Yes, there's an asterisk in it, and it looks like that's here to stay. I thought that asterisk meant that we were going to get like something under like Thunderbolts, like Rise of the Century, or like something like that, and that he didn't want to spoil it yet. But I have no idea what he's doing here with this whole thing.
I really hope it's not some sort of joke that like they work into it, like, what's this mean? Oh, it'll be revealed later. Like, well, why is there an asterisk? Oh, just go with it. You'll find out. Like, I feel the Thunderbolts, because if you look at the characters, especially the ones that appeared in Black Widow, they're jokesters. You know, like they're and I feel you're just going to make a version of the Suicide Squad, which is not what the Thunderbolts
are.
I feel like with that asterisk, that's what they're doing.
So you know what? I love that you said that because that's a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about here for Captain America: Brave New World, we got, I guess, like some footage from Brave New World that shows Thunderbolt Ross telling Sam he needs to rebuild the Avengers. And Sam is hesitant. And then there's like Isaiah Bradley shows up from the Captain America Winter Soldier show, and he just starts firing rounds at like U.S. officials. And then it's kind of like chaos and shit. I from what I gather, obviously I wasn't there, I didn't see it, but everyone was like, the tone felt serious. And I really hope, tying it back into what you said about, you know, the Thunderbolts kind of being jokesters, I think Kevin Feige and the Marvel team is really dropping the hammer on, this is going to be, we're going back to what we know and what worked, which is like a more serious vibe. We're not doing this like jokey, can't take these movies seriously. I think based off of that, I think this is going to set the tone. And I pray that the Thunderbolts don't fall to like Marvel silliness. I pray that no movie going forward does, because guess it didn't work. It didn't work. So I really hope that based off what we saw from that Brave New World trailer, that this is how it's going to be going forward. I pray.
But I'm thinking now, is the asterisk going to be, you know, Thunderbolts, the President's Avengers, or something like that?
Yeah, because
why are they called the Thunderbolts? Why are they called the Thunderbolts?
So
I mean,
did you
look? The thing is, when you were describing that trailer to me, like, I didn't know it was a trailer, because I just saw it like
it's like little scenes.
New image of the, and I'm like, okay, so it's just Harrison Ford and Anthony Mackie looking at each other in the room. Why is this blowing people away? You know, but then
right. No, there was more to it. I guess it was very well done. I guess it was, it was very like serious from what I gathered. Like there was no like
Winter Soldier,
Captain America, like flying around and like doing all this stuff and like joke. Like it was like they were like, it was very serious, which I think is perfect. That's what we've been asking for. So
that's what I was saying to you, like Winter Soldier. Look at that. Like that's one of the MCU ones I've actually watched more than once, because
amazing movie.
Yes, there were funny parts in it, but it's not like you're making it. Because even I was talking to someone, talking to a buddy about She-Hulk, and the She-Hulk series, I didn't think it was bad. It just annoyed me what they did to Abomination. There are certain characters. Emil Blonsky is a bad, bad person.
Yeah.
He's not like that. You know, you could have done that with anybody else. Like he's a nasty, he's like a crossbones.
Yeah,
he's
but you're thinking about it in the comics. Dude. Yeah, you're thinking about it in the comics. I know, man.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what annoyed me, that they did that to him. And that's why I'm apprehensive about Thunderbolts.
Okay.
You know,
the rumor? Did you hear the rumor of why the Thunderbolts is called the Thunderbolts? That I guess like White Widow is naming it that name because that was the name of her soccer team when she was growing up in Russia.
But see, this is the bullshit I'm talking about. Like this, I mean, come on.
They can't get out of their own way, dude. Like this is a rumor. I really want to stress that word rumor. This is not fact. This is just a heavy rumor that was floating around and
people getting worked up over it. And so I am annoyed.
I was one of them.
I'm worked up about this. I didn't need to know that. Now I'm fucking annoyed. Whatever hope I had. Well, look, maybe, you know, it could just be that. It could just be a rumor.
Seriously, let's wait. Yeah, let's wait. But, yeah, very exciting things. I was very excited. The asterisk doesn't excite me. Whatever little game he's playing, okay, fine. I was excited about Brave New World. What I was also excited about was the official promo poster for Deadpool and Wolverine that was released at CinemaCon. Look, I think they both look unbelievable. I think their costumes are awesome. And something that I thought was really neat, Rob, was I think you'll appreciate this little pickup that I had. Wolverine has the white eye slits on his mask for the movie coming out. He's going to be the first live action comic book character besides Deadpool, if you want to count Deadpool, because obviously I don't think his eye slits would work for anything else, to have like white eyes in a costume, like what we see in the comics.
Batman
that we read.
Always has white eyes in the comics, and it's just like, holy shit, you're Bruce Wayne. I know those blue eyes anywhere. No, I'm not. But you are. You have that tan line around your mouth, and you got his blue eyes. You fuck a Bruce Wayne.
Like, so, like, I don't know. It's just, and I also think, dude, the thing I love about talking about comics with you two, and you brought this up on the show, is that like these characters need like realistic, like, you know, like realistic, you know, gear and stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't translate.
I would think
always
that the eye slits being white. I think that that would help because it keeps debris out of your eyes. Like it protects
and also,
your eyes.
Also, it keeps your secret identity. Like, how many people have you gone like, I know that, and it's the like you if you know someone's eyes, like you know their eyes. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, yeah, I'm excited for Wolverine and Deadpool. I'm assuming it's going to be fun. Yeah, like with these things, these announcements, the Joker and Harley Quinn trailer, that's the only trailer I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch the trailer. Yep. And I've decided myself, I'm going to leave it at the one trailer because any movie I watch, it's the first trailer. I'm not going to change my mind with the second. I'm not going to change my mind with the third. I've gotten all I need to know. That's it.
Yeah, dude, I respect that a ton. I respect it a ton. We got the Superman logo revealed at CinemaCon, and it is indeed the big reveal. They didn't reveal the suit, just the logo. I expect the full suit reveal at Comic-Con this July. That is when I think at San Diego Comic-Con they'll reveal the full suit. It'll be a big thing. It'll break the internet. We'll see. But it's the Kingdom Come Superman suit, or logo, which I think is very cool. It doesn't even look like an S, but it is. It's hard to describe.
Well,
I would encourage everybody.
At this stage, I think they have to do something different with Superman.
Right, I agree, bro.
You have to. Like Batman, they're not doing anything different with Batman. It's just a different way an actor is portraying Bruce Wayne or Batman, but it's nothing different. Give us Batman Beyond. Give us something different. So absolutely do Kingdom Come. Like, go nuts with it. Like, that's what was a lot of fun about the Secret Wars of the last Secret Wars event that they had, is that they took the most popular alternate realities and they mashed it together to create Battle Worlds. Yeah. Do that with learn from what Marvel's mistakes. You know, do your thing. Yes. Like, oh yeah, I can. I'm from a different dimension. I'm just gonna pop back and have maybe two or three Supermen in one place, where like you can just jump to whoever you want to jump to.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what they're pushing to do. So I thought that was a very cool piece of news. Another thing that really excited me that I was all for was Monarch Legacy of Monsters, the Godzilla Kong tie-in TV show. That got confirmed for a season 2, which should come to no surprise to anyone given how big the last movie was and the last few movies were, and, quote, multiple other spinoffs on the way.
But my God, but has that worked for Star Wars? Has that worked for Marvel?
So let me chime in here, because I love that you ask that. Star Wars is very complex. It's very, very complex. The MonsterVerse stuff is just dumb fun, bro. I'll be the first to admit it. People lose credibility when they tell me they didn't like the plot of Godzilla X Kong New Empire. The movie, I didn't go to the theater for the plot, bro.
It's popcorn. Yeah, it's popcorn fun. But what but this is the thing that I'm saying, like, when you have a simplistic, and not even simplistic, but let's just say a very to the point and, you know, on face value storyline, creating all these divergent spin-offs, but why? Let's say the complexity, like you said, of Star Wars warrants the spin-offs, because we had 9 movies based around one intergalactic family, the Skywalkers.
Right.
So, like, you can tell stories away from them because there's a galaxy of quadrillions.
Right.
King Kong is King Kong and Godzilla, like, they're the most famous kaiju. If they're not in it, meet Brian, Godzilla's second cousin. We're going to catch him, but we might not meet Godzilla. Look, if it's successful, this is the model. You pound it into the ground till it's not making money anymore.
And that's exactly what it is. But I will say, I mean, it is a pure testament to the power of Godzilla and Kong that Kong is 90 years old as a movie character and movie icon, and he's still getting movies made. And Godzilla is right behind him in terms of
Well, Godzilla, I mean, how many movies does Godzilla have in continuity? TV shows? Bro. Like, your, I mean, Kong has...
Holy moly, so many.
Kong has, but nowhere near the amount Godzilla does, though.
No, but I will say most of Kong's movies, most are actually, like, unbelievable. Remember, you know, that Jack Black King Kong movie? That was awesome.
I don't know. I don't know. Really? I remember... I went to see that in a cinema one town over from mine, and there was a break halfway through, and it was just because it was 3 hours. You're like, what's going on? Well, you go to the bathroom, you get more popcorn, and
yeah.
But I think too, watching it, like, this is young idiot Rob, as opposed to maybe I should watch it back and I'll appreciate more for it. You know,
I loved it. Yeah, I really liked it as a movie. But besides the point, my original point here is that, like, I think they sell. I mean, the fact that they've been along for this long and they're still building audiences and getting people excited.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's like crazy to me. It's crazy
a testament to the characters. Yeah. I mean,
it is. You know? It's a concept. So let's see where these go. That's all we have. But I will say that I really hope it's still Apple. Monarch Legacy of Monsters will be Apple again, which is great because they have the budget to actually make it seem like a movie and they go all out. Let's see where the other spinoffs go. I'll watch them. Yeah, you know, tune into Geekable, and I'll keep you guys informed. Moving down the line here, Rob, this is one that I really wanted to talk to you about because I know that you kind of love this sphere and realm of characters, even though you don't necessarily read the comics and stuff, but I know that they mean very much to you. Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover movie officially happening.
When I saw that, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Cobra Commander, Megatron, because I loved those G.I. Joe movies that came out years ago.
Dude, they were good.
They were so much fun. When Dennis Quaid is like, there are Joes in that sub. Dude, what about the Janes? Fuck the Janes. There's Joes. You're like, you want... like, and then you have the Cobra Commander like, kill all the Joes. You're like, but there's Janes. You're taking, you're leaving 50% of the organization alive. Right. This is not a good... I don't know. I'm excited. That's going to be popcorn fun. And
that's
going to
be popcorn fun.
Sick.
Yeah.
Cobra and the Decepticons. Ah, you can't trust anybody in that organization.
No, man. It warms my heart that you're so, like, that's how I feel about the Godzilla Kong stuff, is how you feel about the G.I. Joe. But dude, I will tell you, I still get, like, goosebumps when I, like, I'm on Instagram going through reels board and just, like, you know, like, G.I. Joe or Transformers, like, clips will come up. And, like, you know, you see, like, Optimus, and he's like, I'll take you all on. And then they
that is – Peter Cullen is, like, he's the Kevin Conroy of Prime. As much as other guys have tried it, there's nothing like Peter Cullen's, like, I'll take you all on. You're like,
that was so good. Yeah, exactly. Prime, like,
you got to watch the 1986 cartoon movie. Like, that will, for everything a Goosebumps does, Michael Bay wants it. That movie will blow you away. My son's middle name is Optimus because of that movie.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. That's so dope. That your son's middle name is Optimus.
Buddy,
I
made sure I had his middle name on his birth cert, his health card, his passport, everywhere I could. William Optimus.
That's actually an elite name. Dare I say one of those elite names?
It's a great name, William Optimus. You know?
Wow. Okay, that's dope. Man, let's see where this movie goes. The last thing on the list here, as far as like big, huge revelations, was there's a live action rated R Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Last Ronin movie in the works. For those of you who don't know, The Last Ronin is like one of the most, actually, it's one of the most regarded like comics of, in like, you know, as we know it. I've heard only amazing things. I haven't read it personally, but I heard it. People really say that this is like one of the best comics like made. Like, it was very sad. It was a good story. It was very bold. It was tragic. So I guess there's a live action and it's rated R. Dude, I mean, a lot of people are super happy about this news.
I did not know that. I am excited because if you watch the first Turtles movie, it's not right. like slapstick happy kids. Like there's a lot of like it's
that's very what I loved adult
orientated. It yeah. was I mean, now do I think a rated R live action Turtles movie is gonna work? Ugh. I mean, would it be better to do it like The Last of Us, like go through HBO or Fallout?
Yeah,
I think it might work better in that regard. Because you think about it, if it fails as a movie, it's right. fucked.
Right.
You're not going to, yeah. whereas like if it has a mediocre or even like, yeah, like run as a TV show, you could get a season two to iron out the wrinkles. But right. if that gets to the main stage and it doesn't clear as much money as people want, then we lose out on a fantastic story. But it could be amazing. It could let's be amazing. That's what yeah, I'm excited that that's getting the big screen treatment.
No. I am too. Let's see where this goes. And before that, I'm definitely going to read that story because I just hear absolutely amazing things about it. Like I do hear it's like one of the best comics like of all time. Like I need to read it. It's
supposed to be quite Chelsea.
On that note.
I just want to give my food for thought before everybody goes.
There we go. I like that.
Speaking of the Turtles.
Yes.
Sorry, I just want to give, because is good. This is the food thought for the week.
Oh, this is the food for thought for the week. Hit me.
Thought for the week. Splinter learns karate without touching mutagen and watching his master doing it. So yeah. Splinter was a regular rat just learning karate. And at no point did his like owner be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like my rat is on its hind legs doing like the crane. Like, and then he became a mutant rat.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Keep your eyes open, people. Look for these details.
Keep that's them open. That's what I love that food for thought for this week. That's spectacular and very true. I actually never even thought about that. So there mm-hmm. we go, people. Hope that will feed you until next week because that's a big one. we have Peacemaker season two has officially begun. Excuse me. James Gunn was on set on April 13th or 14th. Kicking it off. So he's done writing it. He's back to producing. I think he's even directing it as well, but don't quote me on that. Which is huge. I mean, this show was, I still haven't seen it yet. I need to see it. I hear amazing things.
Yes. I will say this. I did not enjoy John Cena's Peacemaker in the movie, but I fell in love with his portrayal, in the show. And I don't think it was his fault I didn't like him in the movie. I think it was because him and Idris Elba had to have this bouncy back and forth of like insults and stuff, but they're not stand-up comedians, so it wasn't improv. You could tell it was like, hey, read this script.
I see.
And that's not their fault, but my god, Peacemaker as a show, fantastic.
I've heard amazing. I'm gonna watch it like this week. I have some time. I'm gonna try and just like buckle.
No, I think it's like 10 episodes
or something.
It's 10 episodes, yeah.
Oh, was it 10 episodes? Yeah, I'll watch it. That's that's great that he's back for a season two. This will tie in to the new DCU. So how that will work, it's been explained a bunch of different ways. It's confusing no matter how you look at it. But in 15 seconds, basically season one is not canon.
Gotcha.
Season two is canon. So we just need to assume that most of what happened in season one happened in the new DCU. Okay, there will be some discrepancies, but for the most part, that's what we're working with. I compiled a lot of information online to get to understand this, but that's what I got. So let's see where we go with this. I'm excited and I haven't even seen it yet. I'm only excited because so many people tell me it's so good. So let's see where it goes.
Thing I'm gonna have to do with that continuity thing, I guess I'm just gonna have to make peace with it.
I think
two for two.
That was good. That
call one the was department because I'm on fire.
Oh man, that was good. Okay, well, I think on that note, I think we will wrap up this episode, Rob. You've given us your lasting thoughts. Look, everybody, really good week for news. Really exciting. Just topics in general. I love your positivity, Rob. I think that it's great that you're excited about the G.I. Joe Transformers stuff. Like, that's
so
awesome.
So excited about
that. We got some good stuff coming. You know, obviously most of it's very far away, but look, more and more news is going to keep coming out. I mean, heck, even Fantastic Four starts shooting in like 2 months, 3 months Jesus. From now. So, like, you know, we're going to start getting set photos. We're going to start getting all this crazy stuff. Like, let's see where it goes, and we got you covered. So if you're a new time listener, thank you so much for trying us out. We'll try to make every episode this exciting. If you're an old time listener, thank you so much for coming back for more, guys. We really appreciate the support. And also, I'm sorry about the 2-day delay on this episode that's coming out now instead of Sunday. I was stuck at an airport for 2 days in Nashville, Tennessee, because the flights just kept getting delayed and pushed and pushed and pushed. So, and canceled on me. So, episode's dropping today as we record this. It's April 16th. So thank you for your patience. And, yeah, everybody, thank you so much. Rob, you're the man. Thanks for coming back, bro. Always love making these shows with you. Always, always.
You too, buddy. And remember, I'm a man, not the man. You have a good one.
Never stop, Rob. Never stop.